Deuteronomy, sorry, chapter 8. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine homes and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God.
The big message of the Bible, when you see it laid out before you, a bit like it was in that video, is that in spite of mankind's decision to turn away from God, God has never turned away from mankind. Of course, we're reminded of that at this time of year with the Christmas story. Jesus is called God with us. He's not turned away. He's come to be with us. But we're also reminded of it, particularly when we come to the elements of communion. Now, the cross is God's means of bringing people like you and me back to himself. The big message of the Bible. In spite of mankind's decision to turn away from God, God has never turned away from mankind. And that message is good news for non-Christian men and women today who continually turn away from God. Somebody said this, idolatry for modern people is any belief about what produces good which has no place for God. Idolatry for modern people is any belief about what produces good which has no place for God. And that's a very prevalent attitude, as we know, in our society today. But God still comes out after non-Christians who in that way and many others continually turn away from him. So that big message of the Bible is good news for non-Christian folk this morning. But it's also a message of good news for Christian believers. Christian believers who know that within them remains the attitude of their first parents, Adam and Eve, who rejected God at the beginning. In spite of our tendency to turn away from the Lord has not turned away from us. Some of us here might remember a visiting preacher called Richard Underwood, came a few years ago. And as is my habit, I generally ask visiting preachers a few questions about their background, about how they heard the message of God's love in Jesus, how they came to personal faith. And then I usually end by saying, how do you keep going as a believer? And the first part of Richard's answer was not about all the things that he did to keep going as a believer. He simply said this: God keeps me going as a Christian. God keeps me going as a Christian. And I think that's one of the great encouragements that we find from our Bible passage this morning. As the people of Israel have travelled through the wilderness, the Lord had not forgotten them. The Lord had kept them going. But Moses is concerned that because of changes that are on the horizon in the history of Israel, although the Lord had not forgotten them, they could end up forgetting the Lord. Moses knew that they were facing some very major changes in their circumstances. And when things change in our lives, they're weak points, and we can be prone to forget the Lord. I think that's true really in all through our lives, that points of change, points of transition, when things alter in our circumstances, can become weak points in our Christian lives. And we're vulnerable at those points to have a change of heart, to begin to forget the Lord. So for instance, going off to university, leaving the familiar patterns of church attendance and so on behind us, can be weak points in a Christian's life. Getting your first job, starting a family, having an increase in your earnings, all of those things can just change the pattern of life. They become weak points in the Christian's walk. And then later on, facing the empty nest syndrome, facing retirement, facing increasing frailty and weariness. All of these changes in our circumstances can become weak points in a Christian's walk. They carry the risk that even the most faithful Christian can begin to forget their Lord. And that's the issue that Moses is focused on in this chapter. Here are the people of Israel, and they're facing a very, very major time of transition. A very major time of transition. They have been wandering in a desert land, in a wilderness, for 40 years. And now they've reached the border of the promised land. And really, the book of Deuteronomy is a record of Moses preaching to Israel to prepare them for entering the promised land, preparing them for what lies ahead. So notice at the beginning of the chapter, he looks back to how things have been. Look at the beginning of chapter 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. They've had a very tough 4 decades. But also he looks forward, verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills. It's clear that the past and the future are going to be very different from each other. They have been in the past at a time of vulnerability. Verse 15a says this: He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. They'd been in a position of great vulnerability. They'd known great hunger and great thirst there. And now they're heading towards a place of great plenty. Verse 7 and following: For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. And the question that they have, that Moses has for the people at that time, is how will those changes that are about to take place, how will they affect you? How will they affect your attitude towards the Lord? That's what he's concerned about at that time. And that's what God remains concerned about in your life and my life today. How will we respond to the changing stages of our lives? How will we respond even from moving from 2018 into 2019? A new year just on the horizon for us. And all the changes that just another year brings to us, what effect will they have on our knowledge of God? Well, the big lesson that with encouragement and warning in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is simply this. The Lord has not forgotten us. And that Lord who has not forgotten us should never be forgotten. Let's put that up on the board, shall we, Sophie? The Lord who has not forgotten us should never be forgotten. I am told that that little symbol is a forget-me-not, and it's used in a computer app to kind of remind people of things in their diary. So I thought that might be an appropriate little symbol for us today. The Lord who has not forgotten us should never be forgotten. And I think in many ways in the first half of this chapter, Moses is emphasizing the fact that the Lord had not forgotten his people. Even though, as he says, the Lord may have had every reason to do so. Let's go on to the next slide, shall we, Sophie? The Lord has not forgotten us, even though he may have had every reason to do so. Because you see, the reason why the Israelites ended up wandering around the desert for 40 years was actually because of an act of great disobedience in their past. Now, you may know the story that when people of Israel came out of Egypt, they actually got to the border of the Promised Land the first time very, very quickly. When they came out of Egypt, they went to Sinai, or Mount Horeb, as it says in Deuteronomy. And then it says it's only 11 days from Mount Horeb to the edge of the Promised Land. So they got there relatively quickly after the Exodus. But although they got to the border, they refused to enter, with the result that they spend 40 years, wandering around in the desert with all the hardship that that involved. But rather than being wasting years of yearning, Moses speaks of them as being valuable years of learning. He says, look, through all of that time, the Lord had not forgotten you. Rather, the Lord was learning things about Israel, and Israel was learning things about the Lord. Look at that in verses 2 and following. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, to humble you and to test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. As we just stand back from that history that Moses is reviewing, as we think of some of the points that he's making here, it's helpful to know that the events of history, even our own personal history, events from history may arise out of human sin and failure, and yet still have divine purpose to them. Events in history, even our own personal history, may arise out of human sin and failure, and yet still have divine purpose. So their time in the desert, for instance, was a result of their disobedience. God was angry at that failure, and yet it all had divine purpose. So I wonder whether, as maybe you sometimes look back in your life over the last year, over the last years, There may be times in the past when you did something stupid, something that was clearly wrong, or perhaps somebody wronged you in a big way. And it's easy for us to think that because of that failure, God has forgotten us now. He's moved on to more promising people in his family. The message from Deuteronomy chapter 8 is no. Such things have divine purpose. Such things can still, as it were, have lessons to teach us. We can learn more about ourselves through some of the consequences of our failure. We can learn much about God, even through the difficulties that our sin brings upon us. So I just wonder, as we look back over 2018, what have you learnt about yourself? God is interested, isn't he? He's interested in understanding us and showing us more about ourselves. I wonder whether, as you look back over 2018, you realise that some of those doubts and fears that you've struggled with are still there. They still persist. Or maybe that love of money or that love of popularity is still as strong as ever. All the ups and downs, all the comings and goings of 2018 have just shown you again that you've still got those familiar weaknesses. Or maybe you've been struck by the re-emergence of an old resentment that you thought you had got over. Or an old obsession which is still there around every corner. Difficulties, even difficulties that we bring upon ourselves, become part of God's disciplining us. Things that help us to learn more about ourselves. Things that help us to learn more about our God. They're things that can mature us, cause us to grow stronger in the long run. So as Moses looks back over the history of Israel up to this point and those 40 years of wandering and the cause of those 40 years and so on, he kind of says, look, even though you thought you may have messed up and would be forgotten by God, he's not forgotten you. He's a God who never forgets his people. I hope that's an encouragement to us as we look back over 2018, maybe look back even over a longer period of time than that. Whatever failings there have been, whatever things we're learning about ourselves, God has not forgotten us. And it's that God who's not forgotten us that should never be forgotten. And that kind of moves us on to the next slide. Thanks. The Lord who's not forgotten us should never be forgotten, especially when things go well. Israel are moving from this time of vulnerability in the desert to plenty in the promised land. And it's interesting, isn't it, that when things are going tough for us, we tend to think God has forgotten us. When things are going well for us, we tend to forget God. And Moses is aware of that. And that's what he fears. As Israel move from desert living into a settled, prosperous life in the promised land, that they will forget their God. So let's just have a look at some of those changing circumstances and some of the temptations that they bring. Verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. A great future awaits them, but it carries with it a very, very difficult temptation. When you have eaten, verse 10, and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Great vulnerability there because of their changing circumstances, going from the desert into the promised land. When things are tough, we think the Lord has forgotten us. When things go well, the tendency is that we forget the Lord. The greatest shock here is that when we find ourselves enjoying the good things of God, we can even forget the greatest act of salvation itself. Moses says, look, when you're in that land and all's going well for you, you may even forget, Israel, that once you were slaves in Egypt, and I brought you out, and I led you through that desert wilderness, and I brought you into this place in the first place. The very benefits of their salvation could cause to make them proud. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hand have produced this wealth for me. And it could set them up for disaster. End of the chapter says this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship, bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. The message is clear, isn't it, this morning? Let's go on to the next slide, Sophie. The Lord who has not forgotten us should never be forgotten. The Lord who has not forgotten us should never be forgotten. Always that vulnerability, particularly at times of transition and change. When that visiting preacher Richard Underwood answered the questions about how he kept going as a Christian, he started by saying that it was God who kept him going. But he didn't finish there. He went on to talk about some of the ways in which God helps us to keep going and to stop us from forgetting him. And I think we see something like that here as God's servant Moses is there to tell the people the truth, as he has brought God's word to them in the laws and statutes and principles that they're to follow, and as he assures them that it is God who is at work in their lives to bring about good things. And we might call those kind of things that God gives us his kind of aide memoir, his reminder notes, his kind of, you know, forget-me-not apps, as it were. And we might sum the things that God has given us up in this way. Let's go on to the next slide, shall we, Sophie? He gives us his word through his church under his spirit. And I think in many ways for us today, the very fact that those things are in place, that God has established those things, are proof and evidence to us that he's not forgotten us. He's not left us, as it were, on our own. He's given us his word. He's given us his church. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And they're the means, we might say, that he's given us to stay connected, to continually remember him. We refer to them sometimes as the means of grace, the things that God has given to us to keep going as believers. So it's important for us as we move into 2019, it's important for us as we face the transitions of our lives, whatever they might be, to realize that God is not to be forgotten, and he's given us aids to keep us remembering him. He's given us his word through his church under his spirit. That's why it would be good, wouldn't it, if you're not in a regular pattern of reading the Bible, to think about 2019 is a good opportunity to start something fresh. Maybe even downloading that to read scripture app and following that Bible reading plan in 2019. That's why it's important that wherever life takes us, we connect with a good church. A church which gathers around the Bible regularly. Preferably a church where at least one man has been set aside as a pastor or a teaching elder. God has given us the church, his people, to keep us going so we don't forget him. That's why we need to regularly come round the communion table, an act of remembrance bringing us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we trust that God's Holy Spirit is there with us, a spirit of truth, so that we might learn more about ourselves and God's love for us in Christ. The Lord who has not forgotten us should never be forgotten. Well, let's just pause for a moment. We might just want to ponder some of those things. Then we're going to sing a lovely song together before we move into communion. Let's just pause for a moment. Thank you.